Luke chapter 5. Oh, Father, I pray that you would continue to bless our time together. Thank you for the time of worship. Thank you for the challenge from the Sunday school. Thank you for all the opportunities that we have to get involved with your people, to serve and to just get involved in what you're doing at this church and at this fellowship. Thank you for the way you're providing in such wonderful ways for us. Now, Lord, we turn attention, all of our attention, to your word. May you speak in a mighty way. May you bring salvation to souls this morning through your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You remember that story about King Midas that we were told as kids? What a classic story that was. King Midas was a very kind man who ruled his kingdom fairly, but he was not one to think very deeply about what he said. After doing a good deed one day, the god Dionysus rewarded King Midas by granting him one wish. You remember what his wish was? He thought for only a second, and then he said, "I wish for everything I touch to turn to gold." And so it was. The beautiful flowers in his garden turned toward the sun for light, but when Midas approached and touched them, they stood rigid and gold. The king grew hungry and thin, for each time he tried to eat, he found that his meal had turned to gold. His lovely daughter, at his loving touch, turned hard and fast to gold. His water, his bed, his clothes, his friends, and eventually the whole palace was gold. King Midas saw that soon his whole kingdom would turn to gold unless he did something right away. So he asked Dionysus to turn everything back to the way it had been and take back his golden touch. Because the king was ashamed and very sad, Dionysus took pity on him and granted his request. Instantly, King Midas was poorer than he had ever been, but richer, he felt, in the things that really count. That's obviously a fable. It comes to us from Greek legend, but it really teaches an important principle, doesn't it? About what really matters in life. I thought about that story as I studied our passage for this morning, because our passage speaks of the touch of Jesus. And let me tell you, the touch of Jesus Christ is the most powerful touch that there is. Every person that Jesus touches turns golden, so to speak. A person who is touched by Jesus Christ becomes clean, beautiful, redeemed, spiritually alive, truly hopeful, completely transformed. We have a wonderful example of the powerful touch of Jesus Christ this morning. Would you read with me beginning in verse 12? It says, "And it happened when he, Jesus, was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then he, Jesus, put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing. Be cleansed.' Immediately, the leprosy left him." Just one touch from Jesus Christ. Just one touch. The man that came to Jesus that day was in a very desperate condition, folks. He was a leper. Leprosy is a horrid disease that was greatly, greatly feared by people in those days. People still fear leprosy. There's many lepers today on the face of the planet. There are many leper colonies. Leprosy is a disgusting skin disease. It's a severe, deadly case of psoriasis. Very, very difficult, horrible disease. The victim initially develops spots on the skin, usually on the hands. And then another very common place was on the forehead, right around the eyes and the nose. And these would be little white, scaly spots. In fact, the Greek word translated leprosy here actually means scaly. The disease would attack the nerves. And so there would be a complete loss of sensation. And the infection would slowly spread throughout the body. There would be a slow, progressive degeneration of tissues. Leprosy, slowly and sickeningly, ate away human flesh. It would eat away fingers, toes, ears, the nose. It would leave pus oozing stumps of hands and of feet. Leprosy was walking, living death. The leper was like a walking corpse, grossly disfigured. I've never seen that movie, Night of the Living Dead. I hope you haven't either. But I've seen trailers of it, and in my mind, the leper would come right out of a scene like that. The leper stunk of death. The leper's body was rotting and decaying, yet there was still life. Leprosy would oftentimes impact the voice. So a leper would croak, gurgle, dribble when attempting to speak. Just a very, very is something going to blow up? You sure? That's awesome. Did you guys hear that? It felt like it was a rocket. I was about to blow up. Thank you, Lord. We're still here. The leper was just in this horrible, horrible, horrible condition. And look what it says in our text about him. It says he was full of leprosy. He was covered in it. He was in the advanced stages. He would have been a disfigured monster, a hideous creature. In my mind, I sort of picture the scene like this. Jesus would have been in a city. He would have been surrounded by people, no doubt. He was always a great attraction and many people would come. And there he is walking in the city. He's surrounded by all these people. And suddenly out of the woodwork, this hideous creature appears. This monster came and bowed at his feet. I am certain that people screamed. I am certain that people gasped. I am certain that people ran away. And leprosy had very, very severe social consequences. You didn't invite a leper over to dinner. You didn't invite him over on a Saturday afternoon for a barbecue. Hey, we'll put some steaks on. We'll go in the pool. You didn't do that. You didn't get anywhere near lepers. In fact, according to the law of Moses, if somebody contracted a skin disease and the priest would confirm it as some sort of leprosy, the leper was banished from the city. The leper became exiled. They were required to live outside the cities, to dwell outside in the wilderness and in the lonely places. The law also required the leper to identify themselves as lepers to other people. So if you had leprosy and you saw somebody coming along the trail, you'd have to shout, "Unclean! Unclean! Don't come near me!" They were isolated from spouse. The leper was isolated from children, from family, from friends, from the temple, from any house of worship. And the lepers were disdained, they were degraded, they were despised. Most people thought that leprosy was the judgment of God. The rabbis, the spiritual leaders and teachers of that day, were especially vicious towards lepers, we know from historical accounts. In one account, a rabbi says he would not even purchase an egg on a street where a leper had been spotted. Another rabbi brags about throwing rocks at lepers. Oh, so much for the compassion of the spiritual leaders. This man, as we said, was in an advanced stage of leprosy, so he's been a leper for many years. He hasn't been with his family for years. He's been out of his business for years. He hasn't had any interaction with people for years. He lost everything. He lost his life. He lost his wife. He lost his kids. He lost his business. He lost worship opportunities. No doubt he even lost his mind. He went through mental anguish. A doctor by the name of Dr. A.B. McDonald began a leper colony in Itu, Nigeria, just at the early part of last century. And in an article about his experience with the lepers there, he wrote, "The leper is sick in mind as well as body. For some reason, there is an attitude to leprosy different from the attitude to any other disfiguring disease. It is associated with shame and horror and carries in some mysterious way a sense of guilt, although innocently acquired like most contagious troubles. Shunned and despised, frequently do lepers consider taking their own lives, and many do." Can you see the state of this man? Do you see how desperate he was? This man came to the only person in the universe who could help. He came to Jesus. And I want you to notice how this man came to Jesus. Look again in verse 12. It says, "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus." First, he saw Jesus. First, he looked to Jesus. He took notice of Jesus. He gave his attention to Jesus. We're not sure the circumstances, but in my mind, I think he was on the outskirts of the city and he saw a ruckus inside the city. He saw all these people and fanfare in the city. And so he got closer and no doubt he saw all these people following Jesus. And maybe he heard someone say, "This is Jesus of Nazareth." And the fame of Jesus had spread throughout the region. So he probably knew that Jesus was a miracle worker, a healer. Whatever the attention, whatever it was, he gave his full attention to Jesus. Secondly, it says that he fell on his face. The second thing this leper did was he rushed Jesus and he fell on his face before Jesus. This is an act of reverence. This is an act of submission. This is what a subject does before a majestic king. This is a man who is honoring Jesus. This is a man who is bowing before Jesus. This is a man who is worshiping Jesus. This is a man who's acknowledging the majesty of Jesus. This is a worthless, helpless servant who knows he's a worthless, helpless servant, throwing himself at the mercy of Jesus, submitting himself. When he cries out, he addresses Jesus as Lord. Next, you see him imploring Jesus. He fell on his face and implored him. That's a very strong word. The leper begged. The leper cried out. The leper beseeched Jesus. This is a man crying out in agony, asking Jesus. You can sort of hear his croaky voice as he screams out, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, make me clean." And I think it's interesting that he doesn't say, "Lord, heal me." Here he doesn't say, "Heal me of leprosy, Lord." He says, "Make me clean, Lord." This man wanted more than just being healed from leprosy. Here's a man who wants life. He wants his family back. He wants to be made whole. Here's a guy who wants a whole new start, a brand new start, a new beginning. Make me clean. And he boldly came to Jesus. This all takes place in the city. It says in verse 12, it happened when he was in a certain city where lepers allowed to be in cities. No, they weren't to go anywhere near inside a city. And yet this guy wasn't going to let anything keep him from getting to Jesus. This man is absolutely convinced that the answer to his need is with Jesus. It's very clear here that this leper believed in Jesus. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. He was absolutely confident in the ability of Jesus. His only question was whether or not Jesus would be willing. This man saw Jesus. This man honored Jesus. This man begged Jesus. This man believed Jesus. When you come to Jesus that way, oh listen, when you come to Jesus that way, get ready for something big. Get ready for a change in life. Get ready to experience the most powerful touch that you'll ever experience. Verse 13 says, then he, Jesus, put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. The most remarkable detail about this miracle is the fact that Jesus touched the leper. That's unheard of. Oh, please see the absolute beautiful picture that this is. This is one of the most beautiful verses that you find in all of Scripture. Jesus took his holy, spotless, clean hand and touched a man who was covered in filth, covered in disease and destruction, and just touched him. He didn't do that. Touching a leper was dangerous medically. Leprosy was thought to be contagious, was thought to be spread. It would have been a real risk, but Jesus touched. To touch a leper was degrading socially. No doubt when people there saw him touching the leper, some of them must have thought, oh, that is gross. Jesus, are you a sicko? How could you touch something so repulsive? I wonder how many people wanted to shake the hand of Jesus after that one. To touch a leper was also defiling religiously. For you see, the leper was ceremonially unclean. They were not allowed, that's what permitted them from going into the temple or any house of worship. And that leper would have been ceremonially unclean perpetually until he was cleansed. Now, if you touch a leper, you become unclean. It's just like touching a dead body according to the law of Moses. And Jesus, despite that, touched the leper. Now, I don't believe Jesus became ceremonially unclean. You know why? Because I think the moment his hand touched that leper, there was no more leprosy. The moment his hand touched, there was a surge into the body of that leper, a cascade of healing and health. Jesus touched a former leper. Can you imagine how meaningful that touch must have been to this man? Think about that. You know, this is what's so wonderful about Jesus. Jesus would often heal the individual in the way that was most meaningful to the individual. Here's a man who has never felt a touch in such a long time. He hasn't had an embrace. He hasn't felt another human being for probably years and years and years. And Jesus touches this man. I can see the man probably putting his hands up over the hand of Jesus, feeling it. I can see the leper thinking, I am touchable. I am lovable. I can be clean. This is Jesus, my friends. Listen. Jesus will touch the untouchable, the people that other people don't want to touch. Jesus will love the unlovable, the people that other people don't love. Jesus will forgive the unforgivable, the people that other people have a hard time forgiving. Jesus will touch anybody who asks him to. There is no sickness. There is no sin. There is no dirt. There is no disease that Jesus won't touch. My brother and sister in Christ, as a side note, today, you and I are the hands of Jesus. Did you know that? And we are the feet of Jesus. Are we willing to touch the unclean? Are we willing to love the unlovable? Are you willing to embrace the homeless? Touch the drug addict? How about the man dying of AIDS? How about the patients in the mental wards? How about the prisoners in the prison? One of the marks of Christianity is the fact that Christians will go out and show the love of Jesus Christ to anyone. Amen? Amen. The other amazing detail is that this is absolute instantaneous healing, isn't it? I mean, it says, I am willing. Jesus touched him and said, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. This was instantaneous. I mean, it happened right then and there. The leprosy left. All the years of pain, all the years of mental anguish, all the years of isolation, all the years of loneliness, all the years of torture were absolutely gone in an instant. This man became golden. This man became brand new, and it took one touch from Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus will still touch people today. And his touch is still the most powerful touch. When I was 7 years old and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I became a Christian. Jesus reached down from heaven and touched little 7-year-old Terry Gray. And he changed me. When I lost my way for a spell in my college years and came back to my Lord, Jesus reached down from heaven and he touched me, transformed me and changed me. Jesus touches his people and can give us victory over sin, addiction, all of that. And I'm telling you right now, this morning, he can touch you and he can make your life brand new, completely, totally transformed. Just like this leper. After this amazing miracle, verse 14 says, and he charged him to tell no one. So he just heals this guy of leprosy, this amazing moment. And then he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Jesus said, I don't want you to go tell anybody. Rather, I want you to go through the formal channels. I want you to show yourself to the priest according to the law of Moses. He was to obey Leviticus chapter 14, if you're interested in reading that. When a leper was healed of leprosy or was cleansed of leprosy, they were to go to the priest. The priests were the one who would offer a clean bill of health. They would go and show themselves to the priest, and if they were clean, then the priest would proclaim the leper clean, and there would be a ritual that they would go through and such like that. Now, I believe that Jesus sending that leper to the temple, to the priest, he was sending them a message. Leprosy usually was not healed. It was very, very uncommon. Very uncommon for leprosy to be healed. In fact, the rabbi said to heal a leper would be like raising someone from the dead. So people didn't get healed of leprosy. This leper showing up on the front door of the priest would have been a signal. God is here. The Messiah is here. And Jesus would offer himself to the priests and the religious leaders of Israel. But how tragic it is that they rejected him and would hand him over to the Romans for crucifixion. But it's interesting, why did he tell this man not to go tell anybody? And you read that in the Gospels. He'll heal people and then Jesus will say, don't go tell anybody. Why? Very important. Jesus did not want to be seen as just a miracle worker, folks. Do you understand that? He didn't want to be seen as just a healer. He didn't want a circus of people that would come to him just for physical healing. He had compassion on people and he would touch people and heal them. But his primary goal for coming here was to bring spiritual healing. To be a spiritual leader. To be a savior. To be a preacher. And to give people spiritual truth. And oftentimes, the physical thing could become a distraction to what he really wanted to do, which was to touch people spiritually and heal them. So he would tell people to be low-key. But verse 15 says, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Despite how low-key Jesus wanted them to be, word got out. The testimony of changed lives was too great. The other Gospels' accounts of this actually tell us that the leper disobeyed Jesus. He actually went around and told people. I'm convinced that he went and showed himself to the priest as he was commanded, but the temptation was too great. He's clean. No doubt he went to see his wife, don't you think? No doubt he went to his kids. No doubt he went to his friends. No doubt he went to his relatives. And everybody took one look at him and said, whoa, what happened to you? And no doubt he told them all, I have been touched by Jesus Christ. And my life has been changed and the word spread. My friend, when Jesus Christ touches you, you change. You're transformed. People will know it. People will notice. There will be a radical altercation of your life. As one Bible teacher put it, when a car crashing, heroin shooting, wife beating guy receives Christ, and his life takes a complete 180 degree turn, and now he's loving his wife, rejecting the drugs, and obeying the traffic laws, that's a testimony to the world. They can see that that person has changed. If Jesus touches you, you change. You become transformed. And I want to ask you this morning, have you been touched by Jesus? Has he transformed your life? Is your life a testimony to the power of the touch of Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking about you become a person who now puts a fish on the bumper of your car. And you carry around the big, you know, coffee table size King James Version Bible. And you have all the Christian cliches. Has your life changed? Have you been touched by Jesus Christ? And do you go around and give glory to Jesus Christ and point people to Jesus Christ? You know, this leper, he committed a sin. He went out and told people what had happened to him at a time when he wasn't supposed to. I think Christians commit a greater sin today. We live in a day when we're to be vocal, telling everybody about Jesus, giving glory to Jesus, showing a changed life before people. And how many Christians today keep it real quiet? Don't share. Have you been touched or not? Has Christ transformed your life or not? Is it evident? My brother and sister in Christ, I believe that Jesus Christ can still do miracles today. Don't you? And I believe that he will still touch people today and heal people from physical disease. And I believe that if you are sick, if you do get a disease of some type or whatever, that it is very important to go to Jesus and ask him to touch you. And by faith, ask him to touch you and believe that he can touch you. I believe he can heal today. But I also believe that the priority for Jesus is spiritual cleansing, spiritual healing. And the miracles, the physical miracles that he did, as recorded in the Gospels, are actually wonderful illustrations of spiritual miracles. And I believe this healing of the leper is a beautiful illustration of salvation. It's a beautiful example of the sinner being transformed by the touch of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that mankind is in a very desperate spiritual condition. We are born in sin. We are born depraved. We are born wicked. We are born in rebellion to God. And sin is very much like a spiritual kind of leprosy. It eats away the heart. It eats away the soul of a person. Sin is progressive, slowly, and it destroys. Sin is contagious. Sin creates pain. Sin creates isolation. It destroys relationships among people. Sin causes separation with God. If you are in sin, you cannot be in fellowship or relationship with God. Sin causes a person to be spiritually dead. This morning I described to you the physical disease of leprosy, and I did it in a way where I wanted to gross you out a little. I did that deliberately. I wanted to paint a graphic picture for you there so that I could now tell you that the condition of the sinner is much worse than the condition of the leper. The condition of the sinner has all that grossness spiritually. And there's only one way for sin to be cleansed. You will not find cleansing from sin at a support group or at a seminar. You will not find cleansing through psychology. You will not find cleansing through meditation. You will not find cleansing through education or enlightenment. The only way to find complete and total cleansing from sin in an instant is by the powerful touch of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's his touch. And while there may be some question as to whether Jesus would want to always heal a person here in the temporary, in this life, there is absolutely no question, no doubt, that Jesus wants to heal you spiritually. That he wants to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says of Jesus, "For he, God, made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it says that God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Is he willing? He's willing. Is he able? He's able. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, "Therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, Jesus Christ." And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, right now is the day of salvation." Right now, in an instant of time, Jesus Christ can touch you, and all your sins can be cleansed, and you can become brand new. It can all start. It can all begin. You need to come to Jesus the way this leper came to Jesus. You need to see him. You need to look to him. You need to submit before him. You need to bow before him. You need to honor him. You need to ask him for cleansing. And you need to do so believing. My friend, Jesus Christ will touch you. And you will never be the same. And he will make your life beautiful. And he will give you true hope. And he's so good at cleaning up the messes that we make in our own lives. Oh, how good he is at that. And there's nobody too dirty that he won't touch and make clean. I want to close this morning with one of my favorite poems. Shared this with the church a number of years ago. But I just love this poem. It's called "The Touch of the Master's Hand." "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it's scarcely worth his while to spend much time with the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What is my bid, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar? A dollar? Two? Only two? $2. Who'll make it three? $3 once. $3 twice. And going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody as pure and sweet as caroling angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What is my bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000. "Who'll make it two?" $2,000. "Who'll make it three?" $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The crowd cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand." "What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man, with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. a mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes. And the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Would you bow your heads with me in close? Oh, Lord Jesus, how we need your touch upon our lives. Only your touch can truly change a person. I believe that there might be some here this morning who need to have their sin completely cleansed, completely washed away. Maybe you sit here this morning with a load of guilt. With a mess that has been made out of life. In a desperate condition. You know you've had that problem. Perhaps you've looked for other things, other ways to fill the hole in your life, to find cleansing, to find forgiveness. You will only find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. For Jesus went to the cross and died for your sins and rose again the third day. He paid for your sins. And if you ask Him to touch you right now, in an instant, in a moment of time, there will be complete and total cleansing. And He will take your life and make something very, very wonderful and beautiful out of it. He'll play you like His instrument. Would there be anyone here this morning who needs that touch right now? Would you raise your hand up high so I can see? Bless you. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Say, I want His touch right now. Bless you. Bless you. Lord Jesus, reach down and touch. Would you pray in your hearts this prayer? Just simply say, Jesus, be my Savior. Touch my life. I need you. I need your cleansing. I need your transforming power. Take my life. Make me a testimony to your powerful touch. Change my life and give me the opportunity to share. Father, I pray that you would give us all the opportunity to share. And as your people, I ask that we would be those who would touch the untouchable like you. Reaching out to everyone, anybody that you might bring into our life. In Jesus' name. Amen.